on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
Big thank you to Kevin Allen of USA Today for joining us to break down the NHL's Eastern Conference. Still to come in about 35 minutes' time at the top of the hour, Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail will join us to talk about the Western Conference. And of course, we'll preview the Central Division and the Pacific Division, as those, of course, are of more interest to the fans here in Winnipeg, given the Winnipeg Jets. This segment of the program brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com. Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk with you in studio. Ezra not so much in studio right now as he went to heat up his coffee. You got the coffee nice and warm now? Yeah, you got the coffee? It's nice and warm? Okay, you're giving me the signal? Okay, good. Anyways, we continue our look, or we start with the Metropolitan Division. As we were talking about it with Kevin Allen, the Washington Capitals won the division last season with 120 points. They were the President's Trophy winners. Of course, they went out in the second round at the hands of the eventual Stanley Cup champion, Pittsburgh Penguins. So we'll start with the Penguins. Is this Penguins team, as I asked Kevin Allen, are they built to repeat, or is repeating in the NHL just such a difficult proposition that it's not really worth considering in this day and age?
I think that the Pittsburgh Penguins are still built to be an excellent team this year, Drew, but I think it's virtually impossible to repeat as Stanley Cup champions now. There's just so much parity in the league. And if you look at the Chicago Blackhawks and the LA Kings, they've won five of the last six Stanley Cups, right? The only one that they didn't win was Pittsburgh last year. So when you consider that neither of those teams have repeated, the Chicago Blackhawks have come close. But it's just so hard. And, you know, I look at the goaltending situation, and Marc-Andre Fleury is going to start the season as the number one goaltender with Matt Murray, you know, injured right now. He's not out long term, but they're going to have a serious decision to make. And I remember when Richie was still on the show last year.
I don't know who this Richie is.
You know, Rich mentioned, is Marc-Andre Fleury not a perfect candidate to be traded to the Dallas Stars? Like, you got to think that Jim Nill is watching that situation very closely. Now, it might be Ben Bishop, sure. And it's funny because Kevin Allen predicted a Dallas-Tampa Bay final. How awkward would it be, guys, if the Dallas Stars traded for Ben Bishop and then played the Lightning in the Stanley Cup final? And it's quite possible. Those are two top teams in the NHL. But, you know, to go back to the Pittsburgh Penguins, I mean, I think the Washington Capitals are still going to win the division. I don't know if they hit 120 points, but I'd be surprised if they weren't above 110 points. The Washington Capitals guys still have the deepest group of forwards in the NHL. When you're talking about their centers, Nicholas Backstrom, Evgeny Kuznetsov, they've now got Lars Eller, who they acquired from the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, this team is absolutely stacked. They've got the best goaltender in the NHL, with the exception of maybe Carey Price, Braden Holtby, and it's unfortunate he didn't get to play for Canada at the World Cup. But
I'm still surprised he wasn't at least why he was the third goaltender over Corey Crawford, but who cares at this point?
Sure, the Canadians have three really good goaltenders, but needless to say, I think this is the Washington Capitals division still. I don't see the Pittsburgh Penguins or the New York Rangers or any other team for that matter getting more points than the Washington Capitals. When it comes to the Metropolitan Division, guys, I think it's ultimately going to come down to, can Washington get over that hump? We've seen Washington for years now be a very good regular season team, and then when it comes to the playoffs, they don't get the job done. And when you look at the guys they went out and they acquired two summers ago, TJ Oshie and Justin Williams, I mean, those guys weren't the reason why they didn't win the Stanley Cup this year. I mean, guys like Andrei Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, even Alexander Ovechkin didn't have a very good playoffs last year. So I think this is still their division to lose. But I look at this division, guys, and I think there could be some prizes. I look at, you know, whether that's a New Jersey or a Philadelphia. I mean,
Philadelphia was a playoff team last year.
No, I know they were, but I'm talking about teams that can usurp the Rangers and the Islanders. I agree with Kevin Allen. I don't think the Islanders make the playoffs this year, and, you know, we might as well get into my prediction. The teams I have making the playoffs.
Sure, we were going to save it for later, but go ahead. We can recap it later.
I have the Capitals, Penguins, Rangers, and Devils making the playoffs out of this division.
Let me write that down so I can remember it later. Go ahead. What, say it again?
I have the Capitals winning the division, okay. And then I have the Penguins, Devils, and Rangers making it out of the Metropolitan Division. Last year, there were five teams that made it out of the Metro. I think it's four.
That's fine. I got to stop you. You have the Devils making the playoffs?
Yes.
Based on Corey Schneider?
Based on his love of the Devils.
Besides the fact you're a Devils fan and you have a Devils fandom, and the Taylor Hall acquisition for Adam Larson was the steal of the offseason. Are you telling me with a straight face you look at that Devils defense and that's good enough to get them into the playoffs?
I do, and I'll tell you why. Schneider had a very underrated year last year. I think you could have argued that Corey Schneider should have been the starting goalie for U.S. at the World Cup of Hockey. Now, I think this is why I think the Devils make the playoffs. They were one of the best defensive teams in the league last year. They couldn't score goals. I think they were bottom five in the NHL in goals scored last year. I think when you throw on Taylor Hall and his 30 goals, I think you throw in a healthy Mike Camilleri, and Mike Camilleri has had trouble staying healthy, but I think with the addition of Taylor Hall, he plays with Adam Henrique on that top line. Now Travis Zajac can play second line center with Mike Camilleri. I think Devontae Smith-Pelly had a very underrated little spurt with the Devils there. I think they're going to score more goals, Drew, and I do think they're going to be better defensively. They've acquired Ben Lovejoy, and they signed Kyle Quincy. I think that's a good upgrade, and I think Damon Severson is one of the most underrated defensemen in the NHL. Really good defenseman in his third year now. Good Saskatchewan boy. I think the Devils will be the surprise team in the Metro.
Do you want my predictions?
Let me just recap again for Ezzy's Metropolitan Division predictions.
Well, only surprise there is the Devils. I mean, everybody knows the Capitals and Penguins are going to be there.
Yeah, I have no problem. The Devils are the surprise there, but you also don't have the Flyers making the playoffs, and I don't see the Flyers necessarily taking us. You have the Flyers.
Well, speaking of defense, the Flyers have a lot of good young prospects. Shane Gostisbehere, Ivan Provorov is probably going to stick with the Flyers this year, but I look at that team and they're still top heavy. Like they're really good at the top with Voracek and Giroux and Braden Chen and these guys, but I don't know if they're going to score enough goals and if that defense and goaltending is going to hold up.
Okay, I mean, you're completely entitled to your opinion. I don't necessarily agree with your opinion, but that's why it's all fun and games here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. So just to recap, you have four playoff teams coming out of the Metropolitan Division. Last year, five came out of the Metro. And last year, the Islanders and the Flyers were playoff teams. This year, you have them dropping out from the playoffs. You have the Washington Capitals, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the New Jersey Devils, and the New York Rangers as the four playoff teams coming out of the Metropolitan Division. Dave, please.
You want my predictions?
Metropolitan Division playoff teams in no particular order.
Well, I've got Pittsburgh, Washington. I don't think Ezzy gives enough credence to the Team Europe goalie, Yaroslav Halak, for the New York Islanders. I've got the Islanders as well, and I've got the Flyers.
So you have the Rangers dropping out from that. So you guys both think that. You don't like the Rangers, Dave? Not that you don't like them, but you don't think they're a playoff team.
I like them. I just don't like them.
I gotcha. And Ezzy, you don't like the Islanders and the Flyers in that you don't think they're playoff teams.
I like the fact that they went out and they signed Andrew Ladd and they went out and they acquired Jason Chimera. Like those guys. I just think that they're not as good as Franz Nielsen and Kyle Okposo. Yaroslav Halak, Dave is right. I mean, he's a good goaltender. I don't think he's a top five goaltender, but he's certainly a great NHL goaltender. I just don't know if in this division they're going to score enough goals. I think they've lost some toughness. A guy like Matt Martin, I think they're really going to miss, even though a guy like Casey Cizikas and Cal Clutterbuck, they can kind of provide that truculence for this lineup. I just think a team like the Devils is, at the end of the day, going to beat out the Islanders for that last spot.
Okay. Well, I will respect both of your opinions on it.
It doesn't matter anyways, Drew. I mean, these predictions are all going to be wrong anyways, right?
They're not all going to be wrong. One of us correctly predicted that the Pittsburgh Penguins were going to be the Stanley Cup champions last year.
I think I went 12 of 16 last year for playoff teams. So
yes, but one of us correctly predicted that the Pittsburgh Penguins were going to be the Stanley Cup champions.
In my defense, one of us wasn't on the show.
Nobody cares.
Drew, I got to give you credit. If I had a crown, I would give it to you right now.
If you want to crown him, you're going to crown him. Denny Green, rest in peace.
I'd give Drew a Burger King crown because that's where he's going after the show.
Get some good meals there. Anyways, let's head to break. When we come back, we'll start our Central Division preview. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, our NHL season preview spectacular on TSN 1290.
On the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Drew Mindell in studio alongside Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk. We are the Illegal Curve hockey team. 25 minutes before the top of the hour here on October the 8th. Still to come, Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail to preview the Western Conference of the NHL. This segment of the program brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. For more information or to make an appointment, visit Linden Market Dental Center. com.
No, Drew, this segment, I want to hear more of Dave M. You know, Dave M is the newest member of the show. I think we're talking too much. I want to hear more of Dave.
Okay. Dave, the challenge has been laid down at your feet.
You know, Dave gave his predictions at the end of the last segment.
I decline. I'm okay. I like the way it's going.
All righty. Continuing on, looking at the NHL's Central Division, and of course, this is of the Winnipeg Jets' most interest, the fans of the Winnipeg Jets, because this is the most competitive division in the NHL. You'd still agree with that assessment?
I think both divisions in the Western Conference are better than the two divisions in the Eastern Conference.
Fair enough.
I like teams in the Eastern Conference. I really like Washington. I really like Florida. I really like Tampa Bay. But as a whole, like, I look at the Pacific Division, for example, which we're going to get into later.
Yeah.
But that Pacific Division, it's going to be very tough for Edmonton or Calgary or Vancouver to get into the playoffs. And that's because there might very well be another five teams that get in from the Central. So I do agree with it, Drew. The Central still is the best division.
Let's start with the Dallas Stars. They were the division winners last year with a record of 50-23-9, 109 points, good for a two-point lead over the St. Louis Blues. The Dallas Stars offseason acquisitions: Yuri Hudler, Dan Hamhuis, and Adam Cracknell. Those are their three sort of quote-unquote main acquisitions. A lot of subtractions from the team: Alex Goligoski, who was on their back end, Chris Russell, who they acquired at the trade deadline, Jason Demers, Colton Sevior, Vernon Fiddler, Travis Moen, Valerie Nichushkin, deciding to go back and play in the KHL, a former first-round pick of the Dallas Stars. Is this Stars team, I mean, obviously we know that they have the offensive capabilities. The questions for the Stars are on the back end and certainly in goal, a position that they did not address whatsoever in the course of the offseason.
I would say, Drew, that the Dallas Stars have a lot more questions in goal than on defense. And, you know, Dan Hamhuis, boy, Dan Hamhuis would certainly look good in the Jets lineup. That's exactly what the Jets need, a left-shot shutdown defenseman. So he's going to play on the top pair with John Klingberg. Essentially, you know, Dan Hamhuis and Alex Goligoski, I think, is a wash. Now, to me, it is, can Essa, Lindell, Steven Johns, can they replace what Chris Russell and Jason Demers did last year? And Jason Demers, by the way, is a very underrated defenseman. He's going to play most likely on the second pair for the Florida Panthers. So I do have some questions, but this team is going to score so many goals this year, Drew. They led the league in offense last year. They'll probably lead the league in offense again this year. They're certainly going to be a top five offense. Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn are healthy. They're going to start the season. You mentioned Yuri Hudler being one of those big acquisitions. Adam Cracknell's a guy that'll go,
Depth
guy, right? Yeah. And, you know, some of the other guys, Colton Sevier, Vernon Fiddler, who signed with the Devils, those guys were veteran guys that'll be replaced in the lineup with guys like Radek Faksa, who had a very good year last year.
A particularly good playoffs last year. Sort of that was, you know, a bit of a coming out party for Radek Faksa.
Right, and you know, a guy like Adam Cracknell will probably get an opportunity in the lineup, especially with a guy like Matthias Janmark out for the season. Yes. I thought Matthias Janmark had a very good year for the Stars last year. So, you know, Valerie Nichushkin is another guy that really couldn't crack the top nine for the Dallas Stars. He went back to Russia. So
injury issues for Nichushkin. In the past two seasons, because he was very good in his rookie year when he was drafted. I believe it was 10th overall back in I think 2013, if my math is not getting me wrong at this point.
Right. So, I mean, I still think the Dallas Stars are the best team in the Central and in the West.
With their goaltending questions?
Yes, I do. And it's because they score so many goals and they have a good enough defense that I think that it won't hurt them much in the regular season. Like, the Dallas Stars up the middle with Tyler Seguin, Jason Spezza, and Cody Eakin, I would say is probably they have the best group of centers with the exception of Washington and maybe a few other teams.
Cody Eakin out to start the year, out for about 6 weeks. He's got a knee injury to start the season.
But with Cody Eakin in the lineup, they're very good in the middle. And, you know, Yuri Hudler is a good acquisition. He's going to play most likely on their second line with Jason Spezza to start the season. This team, I think, as it goes more into the winter months, January, February, then I think they maybe look at acquiring a defenseman before the trade deadline. And whether that's Ben Bishop, Marc-Andre Fleury, or another goaltender, I don't think they go into the playoffs again with Antti Niemi and Kari Lehtinen. But this team scores so many goals that I don't know if they need to have a Carey Price on the team in order for this team to be successful. So, yes, I do have some...
They might not need Carey Price, but they need... I mean, they need better than what they currently have. At least for the regular season, they can get away with it.
Right.
But the playoffs is, and that's something we'll probably have to discuss in April when the regular season ends.
But the problem is, can they? I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is you develop a certain comfort with a goaltender, and the reality is that you don't want to acquire that goaltender, you know, around the trade deadline. It's much better for that team if they get him, you know, a little bit early, not necessarily just kick off the season. But I don't know. I just see this Dallas team. I mean, realistically, as Ezzy's saying, you know, defense fine is pretty good, but like, and they're going to score a million goals. If you could just get that marquee goaltender, which is obviously easier said than done, and let me tell you, I'm sure they're a little bit, they're cursing the injury to Matt Murray in Pittsburgh, but, you know, they're probably a goaltender away from being a legit Stanley Cup contender.
And that's why you need to get that goaltender, regardless of what, I mean, in an ideal situation, sure, if, you know, but the asking price in this offseason was probably too high, whereas the asking price in April, given that the expansion draft is right on the horizon, given that, you know, the screws are being put to some of these general managers a little bit more that have roster questions, might be a little bit more tangible for, or a little more amenable for Jim Nill to pay that asking price come April.
Brian Elliott was available, and all it took to get Brian Elliott from the St. Louis Blues was a second rounder.
Well, you lead directly into the St. Louis Blues. The Blues finished second last year in the Central Division with a record of 49-24-9, good for 107 points. Then they were able to defeat the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round of the playoffs, get over that sort of bugaboo that they'd had before falling in the next round. The St. Louis Blues, they add David Perron back to their team. He's sort of their big offseason addition. They lose Brian Elliott. He gets traded to the Calgary Flames. Troy Brouwer goes to the Flames as well as a free agent. David Backes signs with the Boston Bruins. Steve Ott also leaving, more of a depth player than anything else. Are the Blues, you know, for years they've always been that team right on the cusp of a Stanley Cup. And I guess they should mention they got Nail Yakupov late last night in a trade with the Edmonton Oilers, taking a bit of a flyer on the former first overall pick, seeing if he's able to turn around his sluggish NHL career so far. The Blues have always been sort of that pick in the Central Division where, you know, very good regular season team, not able to do it in the playoffs. Is this different this year? Or with the factor of, you know, losing the guys I mentioned, guys who are key performers, guy like Kevin Shattenkirk, rumored to be on the trade block all year as he's an unrestricted free agent.
Well, he's been on the trading block for 3 years now.
I know, but he's unlikely to be signed. I mean, there's no urgency to trade him last year when he's still under contract, whereas if you get to January and February and you might lose him for nothing, it might be more urgency at that point in time. Is this Blues team, and Jake Allen, you know, certainly he's now the number one goaltender for the first time, a clear number one goaltender. Is this Blues team equipped to make a longer run than they have previously in the playoffs?
I don't know the answer to that, Drew. I do know that the St. Louis Blues, it's going to be a very interesting year because it's a transitional year. And it's not just a transitional year because Ken Hitchcock has said this is going to be his last year and then Mike Yeo is going to take over next year. It's because David Backes was your captain, and you know David Backes leaving to go sign with the Boston Bruins, and then Troy Brouwer signing with the Calgary Flames. I mean, those are two big parts of your team. And the lucky thing for St. Louis is, not lucky, fortunate is a better word, is that the St. Louis Blues have so much depth at forward. And again, Drew, it starts in the middle and on defense for me. Jake Allen, even though he lost the net to Brian Elliott last year, I think he's ready for full-time NHL duty.
He did get it back on occasion during the playoffs as well.
Right. And for me, it starts up the middle with Jori Lehterä, Paul Stastny, and Alex Steen. They're not going to miss David Backes up the middle as much as you think. Sure, you know, he's a tough power forward to play against, but there's so much skill there on the wings. You mentioned David Perron, but Jaden Schwartz and Vladimir Tarasenko. You got Robbie Fabry, who I think can even be better than he was last year, and he had a very good rookie season, an even better playoffs for the St. Louis Blues. Been on defense as well. You mentioned that a guy like Kevin Shattenkirk might be traded, but Colton Parayko really came out of nowhere last year, and he established himself as a top four defenseman for the St. Louis Blues. But Jay Bouwmeester, Alex Petrangelo, even a guy like Joel Edmondson has been very impressive, a Brandon boy. this St. Louis Blues team, I think, is a lock for the playoffs. I think that they're going to compete with the Dallas Stars and the Nashville Predators and the Chicago Blackhawks for the division lead. I think all four teams are going to be right in it until the end. I just don't see this team necessarily getting there in the Stanley Cup Finals, because I think last year was their year, and they almost got there. San Jose beat them in the Western Conference Finals, but to me, I just don't know if they've gotten better. I don't think that they've necessarily gotten worse, but I don't know if they've gotten better.
Jaden Schwartz, should mention, going to be out for the first month of the season with an elbow injury, a guy who's had difficulty staying healthy, but a key asset for the St. Louis Blues team. Let's go to break. When we come back, more in the Central Division. We'll look at the Blackhawks, the Predators, the Avalanche, and the Wild. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
Legal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Big thank you to our friends at Keener Jerseys for sponsoring this segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Keener Jerseys is known as one of the world's best jersey customizers. You want awesome jerseys for your rec team or have a jersey you want personalized? Visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com or stop in at their new showroom located on the corner of Portage and Sherburn. Check them out, Keener Jerseys, good friends of the program and doing awesome work to get your jerseys up to speed and up to snuff. Particularly, you know, maybe you got a Heritage Classic jersey you want to get personalized, I'd go to Keener Jerseys to get that done.
I guess we're going to find out pretty soon what the Las Vegas jerseys are going to look like.
Have they announced what their team name is yet?
They haven't, but I know that the season ticket packages came out.
For the Las Vegas team?
Yeah. Like, they're like people who have signed up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that drive similar to what they did in Winnipeg. So they had the PDF came out yesterday, I believe. So people who had signed up got it. And I believe the selection comes soon. I'd have to check. But it's, yeah, the PDF came out. It was actually.
And it just said Las Vegas Hockey or what? It doesn't really matter. I don't really care. But
all right. Well, then I won't pull it up.
If you had it handy is all I'm saying.
I do not.
Okay. Well, then you can find it and let us know, I guess, at some point.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It did say just Las Vegas Hockey, obviously. It was generic. Right. It was like the Winnipeg NHL team.
The Winnipeg Winnipegs.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll have a 31st NHL team to talk about next season as part of our season preview show, but we continue our look at the Central Division by looking at the Chicago Blackhawks, the perennial Stanley Cup contender Chicago Blackhawks. Certainly nobody has any doubts that they're going to be a playoff team this coming season when you have the level of talent up front that they do. Kane, Taves, Hossa, Panarin. No questions that they're a playoff
Jordan
team.
Tutu.
Maybe not so much Jordan Tutu, but...
hey, that was a good signing.
He's an addition to the bottom six of the Blackhawks. Duncan Keith, of course, assuming he's back to health. They get Brian Campbell in the offseason over, returning to the team from the Florida Panthers.
Don't forget about one of Ezzy's favorite, Nick Schmaltz.
Nick Schmaltz, as he loves his good Schmaltz. He likes to cook with Schmaltz, things of that nature. The key to the Blackhawks, from my perspective, is those young players. Is the Nick Schmaltzes, is the Tyler Motts.
Ryan Hartman.
Ryan Hartman, coming into the lineup and being able to fill the roles that of the veteran players that they have had to lose due to the salary cap ramifications. Of course, Tuvo Teravainen and Brian Bickle off to Carolina as part of a salary cap move this offseason as well.
Tyler Motts, an interesting player. I watched him come into Winnipeg playing with the Rockford IceHogs at the end of last season, and he played after his college year ended. He went and played with Rockford, and he looked pretty good against Manitoba, I should say. And he had a nice couple of games here in Winnipeg, and he's an interesting player to watch as the season progresses for Chicago. I think, like you said, Drew, they've got a number of young guys who are going to have to step up, because they're always up against it when it comes to the salary cap and that sort of thing. So. These young guys like Nick Schmaltz, Tyler Motte, those guys are really going to have to kind of step up and help when you have a top-heavy team like Chicago with the Hossas and the Taves and the Canes.
And Dave, that's because, as Drew mentioned, you know, you don't have Andrew Shaw there in the bottom six. He played on the second line at times. You don't have Teuvo Teravainen, who was kind of a staple of the third line when he was in the lineup. But when you're talking about the Chicago Blackhawks, I think you're right, Drew. I mean, this team can sleepwalk into the playoffs. They're that good. I mean, this team is built for the playoffs. It's not a question if they're going to make the playoffs. It's how far are they going to go in the playoffs. And I wouldn't be surprised if they went all the way again. Would anybody here? I mean, they've won 3 Stanley Cups in the last 7 years. And as you mentioned, with Taves, Kane, Hossa, Panarin, all of these guys, to me, it's going to be interesting what happens with the defense, because I like the Brian Campbell signing.
Sure.
They got Brian Campbell for 1 year. He could have signed for more money with Florida. He's the guy that they really have coveted since they lost Johnny Oduya to the Dallas Stars. So we know that the top four is going to be Keith, Seabrook, Hjalmarsson, and Campbell. And a guy like Gustav Forsling looks like he's going to make the lineup. And Trevor Van Riemsdyk, I think, doesn't have to play second pair minutes now. He can play on the third pair for the Chicago Blackhawks. So this team's going to score a lot of goals. I think they're going to be better defensively than they were last year. And I agree with Dave. I mean, Tyler Motte, I know, has impressed Joel Quenneville in training camp, and it looks like he's made the opening night roster. I wouldn't be surprised if they have another rookie in the lineup. And, you know, Dave mentioned a guy like Nick Schmaltz. Maybe he plays on the fourth line with a guy like Jordan Tutu. So certainly it's going to be a different Blackhawks team than we saw last year. There's some new faces there. But, this team is going to get into the playoffs in the Central. And, again, once it gets to playoff time, with all of that veteran experience that they have, I mean, they're certainly a force to be reckoned with. I wouldn't say that they've necessarily taken a step forward, but I think they're going to be just as good as they were last year.
The Nashville Predators were 41-27-14 last season, good enough for a playoff spot. And, of course, they defeated the Anaheim Ducks in the first round of the playoffs as they crossed over to play in the Pacific Division. We know their big transaction this offseason, acquiring PK Subban from the Montreal Canadiens. They gave up perennial anchor on the back end, Weber. This Predators team is sort of a sexy pick out of the Western Conference to either be the Western Conference representative, maybe even win the Stanley Cup, given their talent on the back end, probably second to none in the NHL, and given, you know, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, some very impressive talent up front. Are you on board with that sort of idea of the Predators as a Stanley Cup contender and maybe sort of not even a dark horse, but one of the favorites out of the Western Conference?
Yeah, I think they're going to be better than they were last year, Drew. And we talked about Dallas, St. Louis, and Chicago already, and I expect those teams to be the top 3 or 4 teams in the Central Division again. But I don't know if any one of those 3 teams has necessarily taken a step forward. But Nashville has taken a step forward, and it's not just PK Subban, but it has a lot to do with PK Subban. I think that trade makes them a more dangerous offensive team. Not to say that Shea Weber wasn't a good offensive defenseman. He scored 20 goals last year, but PK Subban makes them quicker. He's quicker than Shea Weber, and I think Matt Carl was an underrated signing. He's going to play on the third pair there, maybe with Yannick Weber. But when you look at that defense, Roman Josi, PK Subban, Matthias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis, Carl, Yannick Weber, it's probably, if not the best defense in the league, it's a top 5 defense in the league. And to me, Drew, it comes back to Pekka Rinne. Pekka Rinne didn't have a good year last year. He's got to be better. The Nashville Predators don't have a second option to Pekka Rinne. It's really Pekka Rinne. It was Carter Hutton last year. It's Marek Mazanek this year. And Pekka Rinne's got to play 60 games, and he's got to be better. When it comes to the playoffs, I think that's what it ultimately comes down to. They're going to score goals. It's essentially the same forward group as last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ryan Johansson, I think with a full season under his belt with the Nashville Predators, he's going to have a better year. Philip Forsberg struggled in the playoffs at times last year. He wasn't good enough. I look at this team, and they're still going to be very tough to play against. Peter Laviolette plays that up-tempo, fast forechecking style. So I do think they're going to be better. They'll probably have 5 or 10 more points than they did last year, but I don't know if they're quite there. I don't know if I would say that they're a Stanley Cup favorite. I think they're a contender, but certainly teams like Dallas and St. Louis, I think, are going to be better when it comes to the playoffs.
The Minnesota Wild have a new head coach, playoff team last year. New head coach in Bruce Boudreau comes over from the Anaheim Ducks. The Wild are sort of an interesting case, and a lot of people would identify the Wild as maybe a team that's going to be a candidate to step back. They acquire Eric Staal in free agency from Thunder Bay, so sort of close to home. Chris Stewart comes over from Anaheim as well, where, of course, there's some familiarity between Chris Stewart and Bruce Boudreau.
How close are the Twin Cities to Thunder Bay?
Well,
I'm not a geography major like Dave, but I don't think it's that close.
Well, they would be Minnesota would be the second closest team to Thunder Bay besides Winnipeg.
You would take, you know, go up to Duluth and then you take go International Falls
over
and then
Lake Superior. I mean, it's not terribly off track.
It's probably still a 5 or 6 hour drive.
It's the second closest team to Thunder Bay. I mean, okay. If he wasn't going to sign with the Jets, Thunder Bay to Minnesota is the next closest city.
Okay. You know, as CNN does with the candidates, if they say if it's true, not true, or partially true, I would say this is mostly true.
Yeah, this is truthy. It sounds accurate. Anyways,
just be careful with that hot mic, Drew.
I know. Well, I'll be very careful with the hot mic. Anyways, we're not even going to go there. The Minnesota Wild.
Yes. I think they are a candidate to take a step back.
Even with Bruce Boudreaux? Because Bruce Boudreaux is a coach who tends to get the most out of his teams during the regular season. Playoff, separate story altogether. We know he's not a good playoff coach. But if you look at this Minnesota Wild, and if they had hired any other head coach, I would suggest that they're probably not a playoff team. With Bruce Boudreaux behind the bench, he seems to be able to get an extra 4 or 5 wins out of a team during the regular season just by his experience, by his guile, by his coaching wisdom. And that's the only reason why I think the Minnesota Wild have a good chance to be in the conversation to be a playoff team this coming season.
Oh, I absolutely think they're in the conversation to be a playoff team. I don't think they're a top team in the Central Division. They're going to be right in there with Winnipeg competing for, you know, probably a wild card spot, Drew. But when you talk about the Minnesota Wild, this was a team that, what was to me the biggest deficiency of the team, and I remember Richie talked about this quite a bit too, is that they're not a very fast team. Mm-hmm. And that's why it wasn't conducive to the way Mike Yeo coached. And Bruce Boudreaux had a quick team. He also had a better defensive team in Anaheim. Now, I'm not saying that Devan Dubnyk isn't a good goaltender. And, you know, they obviously are very blessed to have a guy like Ryan Suter, one of the top defensemen in the NHL. But I look at what they did, and sure, they bring in Eric Staal, and that's a nice signing. I think, you know, he's better suited to be a second-line center as he was, I think, he had too much responsibility on his shoulders as a first-line center in Carolina. I just don't think he's as good as he used to be.
He's
31 years old. People think he's a lot older
than that. He's turning 32, like, next week or something.
Okay, but he's still 31. I mean, he's not 37.
No, but he's got so many games on his body. He's got so many miles on his body.
Well,
he's got
so much
international hockey experience
on his body. Eric Staal doesn't, you know, the only real big move they made aside from getting Chris Stewart was they brought in Eric Staal. And I don't think acquiring Eric Staal makes you a quicker team. I think it makes you a better team and you're deeper up the middle, but it ultimately is going to come down to guys like Mikael Granlund, Nito Niederreiter, Jason Zucker, those guys taking the next step. And they've been waiting for those guys to take the next step for 3 years now. So, you know, I look at this division and they're certainly not beating out Chicago, Nashville, St. Louis, or Dallas. So really, it's between the Jets, the Wild, and the Colorado Avalanche for that last playoff spot in the Central Division. I would argue that the Jets are just as good as the Wild, if not better. So, you know, I don't know about the Wild. I think, to me, they're a tweener.
You can watch the Jets and the Wild later on tonight on TSN 3. Of course, that game later today on TSN 1290 as well. Let's head to break. When we come back, Eric DeHatchik of the Globe and Mail joins us to talk about the NHL's Western Conference. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our season preview show on TSN 1290.
On the Curve, on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Hour number 3 of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel alongside Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us in studio there as well. Facebook.com/Illegal Curve is how you can find us on Facebook. And our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news, including the Winnipeg Jets lines for tonight's final exhibition contest against the Minnesota Wild, available on IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are thrilled to welcome back to the program Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail. Eric joins us to discuss the NHL's Western Conference with the NHL season commencing this coming week. We are thrilled to welcome Eric to the program. Eric, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right, Eric, obviously thrilled to have you on as we do this time of year every year to discuss the NHL's Western Conference. I want to start with the San Jose Sharks. They, of course, were the Western Conference representative last season in the NHL in the Stanley Cup Finals. Sort of a surprise team to come out of the Western Conference, as not a lot of people necessarily had the Sharks earmarked for that much success last season. Do you see the Sharks as being a team that's likely to repeat as the Western Conference representative, or were they sort of a bit of a flash in the pan with no expectations attached to them for the first time in many seasons last year?
Yeah, I'd probably fall somewhere in between. I do think that they've probably got the best team in the Pacific Division. I only say that because I think Los Angeles is going to go backwards a little bit this year, and I'm not 100% sure, you know, what Anaheim is going to look like because they don't have the depth in goaltending that they did a year ago. So almost by default, I think they're the top team in the Pacific Division. There hasn't been a whole lot of changes to that roster, and I think that a lot will depend on how Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau come back. I mean, both these guys have another year under their belts, and Thornton had a fantastic year last year. I don't think anyone saw him being the number four scorer in the National Hockey League. So I think it's impossible for him to duplicate those numbers. But if he has a season close to what he had, getting a full year out of Logan Couture, who missed a lot of games last year, and inserting Bodker in the lineup, I think makes them, if anything, slightly stronger than they were. So I don't really see there being any kind of Stanley Cup final hangover, because I do think that is a thing that people don't talk about very much. I just like their personnel, and I think that the adjustment to Pierre DeBoer as the new coach went very seamlessly last year. I think the players really like playing for him, and you could see just sort of watching the Sharks in the playoffs and how DeBoer handled them and the relationship between the players and the coaches. It's a very good relationship there, and I think that will continue on through this year. So, yes, I do think that they are going to have another good season, and I'm always reluctant to make playoff predictions because you don't know what a team is going to look like on April the 15th. You know, there's lots of changes that can be made for any team. So, but in terms of regular season performance, I think they're the best team in the Pacific.
Eric, are you as high on the Nashville Predators as some others? Some people are predicting that the Nashville Predators are going to win in the Central Division, maybe even go to the Stanley Cup Final, or do you think it ultimately depends a lot on how Pekka Rinne rebounds from a subpar season?
Well, you've nailed it. But one of the things, you know, you probably remember me saying this pretty much every year, because I do believe that you can always construct a best case and a worst case scenario for any team. So let's construct the best case scenario for Nashville, and that is that PK Subban goes in and creates a dynamic on that team that wasn't there before, and that he scores a lot more goals than the two that he scored last year, because they're going to have to replace the 14 that Shea Weber took with him to Montreal. But if he can come in there and infuse that dressing room with a little bit more personality, they've already got, you know, they're going to get a full year out of Ryan Johansson. James Neal seems to have found a home there. Philip Forsberg, I think, is poised to become a star in the National Hockey League. Roman Josi, I think people who watched the World Cup gained a new appreciation for just how complete a defenseman he is. Ekholm and Ellis are one of the best two pairs in the National Hockey League. So there's a lot of pieces there, and a lot of them are, as you suggest, dependent on how Rinne plays. He's a guy that at times can just wow you. You know, I mean, most people believe 2 years ago he was the top five goaltender in the National Hockey League, and he had the stats to prove it, and then he had that unfortunate infection and cost him two-thirds of a season, and he really hasn't been the same goaltender since. He's had moments, but he hasn't been the same consistent goaltender that we saw prior to that. So if he can come back and be better, a lot better, then absolutely. You know, they're a team that has a lot of interesting pieces kind of cobbled together by trades that David Poile has made, and I like their chances in a best-case scenario. But let's flip it. You know, what if Rinne just has another ordinary season? What if we have seen the best of Pekka Rinne? Then I don't think that they're anything more than they have been, which is a team that should contend for the playoffs. I like their coach, too, Peter Laviolette. He's won in lots of different places where he's gone. But they need to, you know, they need that goaltending. They need that goaltending, and they need Subban to be a good fit there. I think he's going to be, But, you know, time will tell whether that actually materializes.
Eric, to a team that was out of the playoffs, and many of our listeners care about, the Winnipeg Jets, there's a lot of youthful enthusiasm with this team. What do you see this team doing, and do you see this team making the playoffs?
Well, I mean, that's a great question, because I don't really know what to do with Winnipeg, only because every time I see them, they seem to be a year younger. And so, you know, the normal evolution of any hockey team is, you know, let's use Calgary as an example. You know, they put Gaudreau and Monahan into the lineup, and incrementally these guys are better and better every season. And I think that in the case of Winnipeg, they just, you know, we're going to see what kind of a year Patrick Laine has in the National Hockey League. I think he's going to be great. Lots of people do. But, you know, can he have enough of an impact to replace some of the, you know, the offense that they've lost with Andrew Ladd out of there? I think their future is great. You know, among those teams in Western Canada, I see all three of them being really good in about a three-year period. But I would say that Winnipeg, just because, you know, we have to wait for Connor Hellebuyck to establish himself as a number one goaltender. We have to wait to see how some of those young forwards adapt to their first, second, and third years in the National Hockey League. It's just hard to win when you've got that much youth. And so, you know, I get what the master plan is there. I fully subscribe to the master plan. Last year at the end of the season, I did a round table in my newspaper, the Globe and Mail. I got, you know, a handful of experts, people who watch the game really closely, talking about the various Canadian teams. Universally, everyone praised the organization that the Jets had put into place. Even, you know, Dustin Byfuglien when he signed the contract. Why? Because he was sold on the vision. So I think they are trending in the right direction. I just have a hard time believing that in a very tough division that they can be one of the teams that makes the playoffs. I think they'll be there in contention for that spot. But, you know, I always say this too, that, you know, if you put somebody in that missed, you have to take somebody out. And who are you going to take out in that central division? I mean, all those teams are pretty good. I would say that maybe Colorado is the weakest of the bunch, but there's a lot to like about every one of the remaining teams. And it's just going to be, it becomes after a while a mathematical equation as much as anything else. You know, somebody has to fall out for them to get in.
Eric DeHatchick of the Globe and Mail is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're discussing the NHL's Western Conference. And Eric, in your previous answer, you mentioned the Calgary Flames. And of course, that's a team you follow closely, given that you're based out of Calgary. You know, last year, you look at the Flames, and the big bugaboo for the Calgary Flames was the goaltending. They think they've solidified that position with the Brian Elliott trade. They likely have. Brian Elliott has proven to certainly be a solid regular season goaltender if there's some questions that still exist with his playoff performance. Given that that position is now solidified, given that the defense is still pretty okay, and given that the forward group even looks better with the addition of Troy Brouwer, and assuming that, you know, they get the Johnny Gaudreau situation resolved pretty quickly, why can't the Flames be that precocious playoff team they were two seasons ago?
Well, I mean, I think they can be, but you know, there are some question marks too. I agree with your original premise about the goaltending. You know, the players have been very careful around here not to be critical of the group that played here last year: Carey Ramo, Jonas Hiller, Joni Ordio, and for a handful of games, Nicholas Backstrom at the end. But, you know, you see that none of these guys are in the National Hockey League right now, and there's a reason for that, because they weren't very good. So it's often very easy to make goaltending your scapegoat, but in the case of Calgary, it just wasn't. You know, they often, you'd see a game where in the first 10 minutes in, there'd be a lot of energy in the Flames bench and they'd be playing pretty well, and then all of a sudden a goal that shouldn't go in by the standards of today's National Hockey League does go in, and there'd be a sag. So it was an Achilles heel. The statistics prove that, but also the body language and the empirical evidence support that contention too. So I like Elliott. I characterize him about 30 years ago when I was first starting in this job. I developed something what I call the Reggie Lemelin syndrome, and essentially the premise is that, you know, sometimes goaltenders get stereotyped as the perennial backup, and that's what happened in Calgary. You know, Lemelin, when they moved from Atlanta, he was the number three guy. Bouchard was the first. Reagan was the second, a high draft choice. Neither of those guys did the job, and eventually they had to go to Lemelin because he was the only guy that they had in the organization. He played very well for them, but they just didn't think that he was the guy, so they traded for Don Edwards. He didn't get the job done. job went back to Reggie Lemelin. And he was a really good goaltender for them for years and years and years, and then went to Boston and was a good goaltender there too. And he never, ever got very much credit, even though all the guys that he played with who were rated ahead of him didn't put up nearly the numbers. So I put Brian Elliott in that category too. If you go back and look at his numbers at times in Ottawa, at times in Colorado, all the time in St. Louis, they're fabulous. They're absolutely fabulous. And yet no one would give him any credit at all. So he's arrived here with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder and something to prove, because I think he believes that he can be that number one guy and can be an elite goaltender. And here, too, they made a quiet signing of Chad Johnson as the backup. Well, Johnson played 45 games for Buffalo last year because of the injury to Robin Leonard, and his save percentage was pretty good, too. So if you look at where the save percentage was last year among the various goaltenders that played, and then you look at the guys that came in, Elliott came from a very good defensive team. Buffalo, not so much. So I do think that those two guys collectively are going to be really effective for them. My concern with Calgary is, where is the scoring coming from? I mean, last year, Joel Colburn unexpectedly gave them 19 goals. He's in Colorado this year. Mark Giordano had 21 goals as a defenseman. You know, I'm not sure that everybody realizes that. He was a very effective player for them. In fact, Giordano, Brody, and Dougie Hamilton, those are elite-level players. So their defense is above average, I would say, not just middle of the pack. But I just, you know, you get past Gaudreau, you get past Monahan. Where is the scoring coming from? They really need Sam Bennett to take another step offensively, and they need Troy Brouwer to come in and give them more than they got from the second line. And the other thing there is that, you know, 2 years ago when they made that playoff push, they got unexpected offense from bottom six forwards. Like Lance Bohm, I think, had 16 or 17 even strength goals. That's really good for a guy that's essentially a role player. Well, he was hurt a lot last year and really fell off. So if they don't get the secondary scoring from the bottom six, if that second line is a good but not great line, I think that the one problem that Calgary is going to have is putting the puck in the net.
Eric, you mentioned the St. Louis Blues a few minutes ago, and you know the St. Louis Blues have been a playoff team, you know, every year for as long as I can remember. And you know, Ken Hitchcock has said this is going to be his last season as a head coach, and then he's going to step down, and Mike Yeo is going to take over. What's your take on the St. Louis Blues? What did you think of the Neil Yakupov trade, and do you think this team has taken a bit of a step back, losing David Backes and Troy Brouwer?
I do think they've taken a step back, and I think a lot of it has to do too with the fact that now they've essentially given the job to Jake Allen, and at different times he's looked really good. But his save percentage was 10 percentage points behind Brian Elliott's last year, and I'm interested to see what he will be like as a guy that they have to count on, because they've got Carter Hutton in there as the backup, but I think that they imagine that Allen will play 55 to 60 games. So it's an important year for him in terms of trying to establish himself as a bona fide number one guy, as opposed to somebody that's been in a job share for most of the early part of his career. Obviously, their defense is still their strength. I mean, Colton Parayko coming in and playing as effectively as he did last year. They still have Shattenkirk, although there's a lot of speculation that he may be moving on eventually. And Pietrangelo and Bomeister are just those solid guys that give you quiet, effective minutes, you know, as a pair, better than you think. And you know, anybody that follows hockey, you know, there's a reason that those guys are playing for Canada's World Cup team and Olympic team, because they get the job done. So that's the strength of their team, obviously. Those four guys, very few teams in the National Hockey League can have four defensemen that play as effectively as they do. But I wonder, too, about, you know, in the same way that I wonder about Calgary scoring, where is it going to come from? Now, I think they hope that when Jaden Schwartz's elbow injury, when he recovers from that, that he'll be a really effective player. He only played 33 games, I believe, last year. And so, you know, he's a guy that has to, A, be healthy, and B, be productive. I just don't think they're going to get more out of Tarasenko than the 40 goals they got from him last year. He's a great player. But in a kind of a one-dimensional offense, teams can key on him in the same way that teams key on Alex Ovechkin when they play the Washington Capitals. So, you know, and can Alex Steen stay healthy? Another guy that's a really good National Hockey League player that has a hard time playing 82 games. So I think there's lots of question marks there. I think Robbie Fabry, who came in last year and was very effective for them, he's going to be a good player for them. And I see him as in a consistent top six role. And you asked about Yakupov. I don't know. I do believe that he was a guy that was in desperate need of a new situation. You know, I never really understood how sometimes you make your team better by moving a guy along until – like I think it was about 1986 when Calgary traded away Kent Nilsson to Minnesota. And I remember asking Cliff Fletcher at the time, how does trading your most talented player make you better? Because all they got back were a couple of number two draft choices. I mean, they turned out to be Joe Nieuwendijk and Stefan Matoso. Worked out in the end. But it was just that he wasn't fitting into what the coach, Bob Johnson, at the time was preaching. And he felt that they had to get him off of that team so that the buy-in from the players that remained was complete. And they did. They got better. They got better by moving an incredible talent. And so I look at Edmonton right now, and I think that Yakupov obviously has some ability. I mean, there's a reason he's chosen as the number one overall player in a draft. And because of Eberle and Hall and you know, all of the players they had playing ahead of him, he never really got the opportunity there. But I also think that some of it is on him, that he didn't he was a difficult player to coach at times, and he was single-minded about what he wanted to do, and he felt that he had the right approach, and you know, a succession of coaches simply couldn't get through to him. So it will be interesting to see, because you know, Ken Hitchcock is a guy that likes things done a certain way. Now, I saw Hitch's comments that, you know, that Yakupov doesn't have to be the guy here. He just needs to come in and fit in. It will be interesting to monitor that dynamic, because he does need a second chance. I hope he goes in there with the attitude that this is an opportunity to do something that I couldn't do in Edmonton, which is establish myself. And St. Louis needs him. I think that they need a guy that can come in and score 15 goals for them. So we'll see. I really don't have a strong sense of how it's going to go. I think that a lot will depend on Yakupov himself and the attitude that he brings, and then, you know, what kind of an opportunity he is given by the Blues once, you know, he shows that he does have the attitude that they want him to have.
Eric Dehatchik is our guest on the Legal Curve Hockey Show. Eric, of course, is with the Globe and Mail. We're discussing the NHL's Western Conference. Eric, you look at the Blackhawks and you look at the Los Angeles Kings, and they are the two, you know, they're the perennial Western Conference favorites, or they have been for the majority of the last decade, more or less. Yet you look at both teams and they are tremendously top-heavy. They have fantastic talent up front and, you know, on their top line and their top two lines, and on the back end, they have fantastic talent in their number one pairings of defense. But their bottom sixes and their bottom pairings in defense are a little bit questionable. Which of those two teams do you think has the better of the depth, and will the other team suffer as a result of the lack of depth both up front and on the back end?
I mean, it's a great question. It's a really good question. I do like Chicago's depth a little bit better, and I don't really know why. I just have a greater faith in what they are trying to accomplish there, because, you know, they have been a better team throughout, you know, since winning their first Stanley Cup, of replacing all of those guys that they had to move for salary cap reasons, and they just had the ability to find guys. And so I just believe that they can do that, whereas I think the problem with Los Angeles is they haven't been able to find those guys. You know, they rely on an extremely good core. You know, so Kopitar, again, anybody that watched the World Cup that doesn't see Kopitar on a regular basis, I think soon came to appreciate that this guy is very Jonathan Toews-like. You know, that 200-foot game, and maybe a little bit more of an offensive bent than Toews has. He's a tremendous player. And Jeff Carter has been a good fit for them there. I think, you know, the move from Columbus to Los Angeles, he's really thrived in that environment. So 1-2 down the middle at center, excellent. And then, you know, Drew Doughty, Jake Muzzin, Jonathan Quick, they have, you know, five really, really good pieces there. But after that, it thins out. I mean, last year, Lucic came in, and he was a big part of that team. He was a big part of their team on the ice. He was a big part of the dressing room chemistry. He's gone. Gabrick was a guy, you know, they're lamenting his absence right now, but the reality is there were lots of times last season when Gabrick wasn't in the top six because his work ethic was questioned by the coaching staff there. So he will eventually come back, and he did have a good World Cup, but he's an X factor anyway, even when he's healthy. So I just don't see LA having the offense. I mean, Toffoli had a good year last year. Pearson hasn't quite become the player that they thought he would. So as opposed to a team like Chicago, that, you know, Hossa and Toews are still dynamic players. That second line with Anisimov, Panarin, and Patrick Kane, exceptional. So I just think that Chicago has more raw offensive power than Los Angeles does. And I think that Chicago's going to have a good season, and I see Los Angeles dropping back a little bit.
Yeah, Eric, I have to agree with you on the LA Kings. I think they're going to be in tough to make the playoffs. I wanted to ask you about the Arizona Coyotes. They've certainly got a good group of young forwards there. You've got guys like Dylan Strome coming into the NHL this year. They just re-signed Tobias Reeder. They went out in the offseason and they acquired Alex Goligoski. They signed him to a 5-year deal. They also picked up Jamie McGinn and Radim Verbata. Do you think this team has done enough to get back into the playoffs?
No, I don't. And again, you know, I mean, 14 teams in the Western Conference, 8 make it, 6 have to miss, and I put Arizona in that bunch that has to miss. And, you know, for a lot of the same reasons that, you know, that I referenced to Winnipeg. I mean, you're right, they have great young pieces. I mean, Domi had a terrific rookie year. Duclair, maybe not quite as good, but he was a very effective player for them. They should be better for having a year under their belt. Dylan Strome, as you say, is going to be a good player. I mean, I saw them the other night. They were through here. You know, they like Jacob Chychrun lots. You know, there's some talk that they might actually keep him, which is amazing that a guy that fell that far in the draft could be a candidate to make it on defense as a teenager in the National Hockey League. I don't see him, you know, sticking for the entire year, but they have really liked what they've seen of him. But their future is still in the future, in my mind. You know, they've got one of the real underrated defensemen in Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Goligoski, as you say, is going to help, you know, Stone and Connor Murphy essentially fill out the top four. That's just not as good as, say, Calgary's or St. Louis's or even Chicago's. That it will be a while before those younger players can play the kind of consistent minutes that you need to, you know, to be effective in the National Hockey League. So they're trending in the right direction. Some of the moves that John Chyka made, I thought, were brilliant. You know, maybe sometimes it takes a 27-year-old to come in and do the kind of deals that more established general managers can't do. I mean, he sold off salary cap space to Detroit, was able to draft Chychrun by moving up 4 places in the draft. Same with his deal with Florida. He got Lawson Crouse essentially for taking on Dave Bolin's salary. And these are trades, or the types of trades that established general managers have talked about for years, and they've just found it very, very difficult to do. And yet, I think because Chyka comes at it with a different attitude and approach, you know, he's been able to make 2 of them in a 4-month period. So, you know, it's a grand experiment there in Arizona, and I think it's fascinating to watch. But I don't think we'll see the fruits of it in the next 12 months.
Eric, we're going to let you go on this last question, and I'm sure you know the question that's coming at you. It's a question that you dislike each and every year, but we appreciate you being a trooper and answering it on a yearly basis. Your 2 conference champions and who you think is going to be hoisting Lord Stanley's Cup come next
June.
I
knew you were going to ask that question. Now I don't even have to give my rider anymore. But okay, all right. I'll say the Dallas Stars if either Marc-Andre Fleury or Ben Bishop is tending goal for them. Because we didn't talk about Dallas. They were the one team in the Western Conference last year that won 50 games. They won 50 games. That was more than any other team in the Western Conference. So even with the guys that they've lost on their blue line, they have tremendous, tremendous talent. And, you know, Ben and Sagan are you know, banged up going into the season, but it's 82 games before we start playing for keeps, so they should be fine by the time they get around to playing then. And same with Jan Mark, who was a real good player for them, is going to miss a little time here. I like their personnel, you know, but like a lot of people, I'm not in love with their goaltending. It was good enough to get them 50 wins last year, so it's not terrible. It's not the worst in the league, but I do think they need an elite-level goaltender in order to really, you know, win in the playoffs, and I think that, you know, they know that, and I think that there will be goaltenders available because of the you know, upcoming expansion draft. So Dallas is my pick, but only if they solve their goaltending problem. Now, you want me to pick somebody from the East as well,
if you don't mind?
All right. Well, I know everybody else is picking Tampa, but I don't know. Again, if they trade Bishop and Vasilevsky is their guy, I don't know if, I mean, Pittsburgh with Matt Murray proved that you can go with a young goaltender, and maybe that's going to give them the courage to possibly move a guy like Bishop along. They've got bad cap problems. They've got to find ways of paying all these guys. You know, Kucherov at some point, I guess, is going to sign, but they can't afford to be without him for too long. He's really, really good. So I'm gonna go with Washington. You know, they had 120 points last year. I mean, they were by far the best team in the National Hockey League, and they just happened to catch Pittsburgh at a time when Pittsburgh had everything going, and they just couldn't get it together. But you know, they still have the same really good team, and I think they're going to be hungrier than ever. So I'm picking Washington.
Eric DeHatchick covers the NHL for the Globe and Mail. Eric, we always appreciate your time. You know, tremendous insight into the NHL's Western Conference, and it wouldn't be one of our season preview shows without having you on it.
All right. It's always my pleasure, guys. Thanks for calling.
Take care, Eric. Thanks so much. Let's head to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. When we come back, an interesting tweet from Gary Lawless about the Jets' goaltending situation and more previews of the 30 NHL teams. Big thank you to Eric Dehatchik of the Globe and Mail for joining us to preview the NHL's Western Conference. We had Kevin Allen to preview the NHL's Eastern Conference earlier in the program, and Jeff Hamilton of the Winnipeg Free Press joined us in studio in hour number one. In case you missed any of that, in case you missed any of the show, it'll be available on iTunes. You can find it on tsn1290.ca and, of course, our website, illegalcurve.com. A number of interesting tweets from our good friend Gary Lawless, TSN senior correspondent, co-host of Hustler and Lawless here on this fine station. Andre Pavlik, most people expected he was going to be the starting goaltender for the Winnipeg Jets tonight in Minnesota. That's not the case. Michael Hutchinson getting the start for the Jets. Andre Pavlik scheduled to be the backup. Here are three tweets from Gary Lawless. Pavlik not playing for the NHL Jets tonight, for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. In my opinion, something is afoot. Could be a trade, could be waivers. Played one game in 6 months. Curious. The original plan for the Winnipeg Jets was to give all three goalies two games. Hutchinson getting a third game and Pavlik shut down after one game. They're getting Hutchinson into rhythm. Maybe it's as simple as Michael Hutchinson is the Winnipeg Jets' number one to start, but only giving Andre Pavlik one game is curious. My guess is a trade or waivers. We'll see. That, of course, Gary Lawless on Twitter. Three interesting tweets coming up in the last 15 minutes or so of time. So it'll be something worth watching tonight, worth watching this weekend, as the Winnipeg Jets make their final cuts to get down to the playing roster ahead of Thursday's home opener against the Carolina Hurricanes. When we come back, more on the NHL's Western Conference as part of our NHL season preview show. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290.
On the Curve, on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290, tsn1290.ca.
Twenty-five minutes before the top of the hour, reminder, we're Blue Bomber Game Day, Minuk Blue Bomber Game Day, coming up at 1 p.m. this afternoon, bombing Westwood. Walby joining us in studio. They'll be in studio to preview the Bombers and the Lions. Full wraparound coverage on Minuk Denture Blue Bomber Game Day coming up in about 90 minutes' time. This segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors, the hilarious Reese Waters is in town. His final night in town, just been absolutely killing it. Check out rumorscomedyclub.com. All sorts of terrific shows upcoming here at Rumors. You're nodding, Ezzy, as you agree.
Well, I actually was just thinking. I haven't been to Rumors in a while.
I thought you told me you got tickets. You're going. I thought you said you have a hot date coming up. You and your lady friend are going to Rumors. You thought you told me that last
week. No, but I should be getting tickets to Rumors. I haven't been there, I think, in about 2 or 3 months. But
begging the question, then, who was I talking to that was going on a hot date? I thought that was
it's
you.
It's probably the stallion over here, Dave Minuk.
The Italian stallion, which is odd because he's not Italian at all. But you know. Maybe Dave.
But I did, when we were in Philadelphia for the draft, I did run up the steps like I was Rocky Balboa.
Uh-huh.
The Hebrew stallion.
Yeah. By the way, if you're going to drop Ezzy's lady friend, you got to drop her name.
Naomi.
All right.
Yeah, we always talk about Naomi.
Well, don't leave it vague. I mean, Ezzy used to be a ladies' man. Now he's tied down to by one fine lady, and it's Naomi.
Yeah. Well, we always talk about that. Anyways, let's continue on with our look at the NHL's Western Conference. We actually have one more team to do in the Central Division. We left off the Colorado Avalanche in our previous talk about the Central Division. So let's start with the Avalanche. They have a new head coach that came late in the season when Joel Bednar is their new head coach after Patrick Waugh sort of left abruptly. The Avalanche had some offseason additions. Joe Colborne, ex of the Calgary Flames. Fedor Tuutinen, a defensive defenseman. Patrick Wierkoch, formerly of the Ottawa Senators. And Ben Smith. They lose Mikhail Bodker. He goes to San Jose. Sean Mathias, of course, comes to Winnipeg. And then they lose a bunch of depth players. Nobody significant. Have the Avalanche done enough? They weren't last in the Central Division last year. That was the Jets. Any reason to believe that the Avalanche have done enough to regain their footing? I mean, it was only a couple years ago that they were atop the Central Division, but it's been a steep drop-off since then.
Yeah, Drew, the Avalanche are a very interesting team, and it has a lot to do with the fact that Patrick Waugh decided that he didn't want to be the coach of the Avalanche anymore, and then you have Jaron Bednar, who has Winnipeg connections, and, you know, he has a very good long history in the American Hockey League, the minor leagues. But when I look at the Colorado Avalanche, I think they can be better. And I like some of the moves they made. You know, we talked about it with Eric Duhatchek. Joel Colburn's a winger that'll play on the third line, most likely with Carl Soderberg and Blake Como. He had 19 goals. He had a very underrated year last year with Calgary, we should mention, not with Colorado. And, you know, you go out and you acquire Fedor Tuutinen, who's, you know, in his last few years in the NHL. His best years are behind him. Patrick Wierkoch is a defenseman that I liked his game when he played for the Ottawa Senators. But, again, it comes down to the division guys. They're in a division with the Blackhawks, the Blues, the Predators, and the Stars. So you're going to have to beat out one of those four teams, and that's going to be very hard. So then it comes down to beating out the Wild or the Jets for that fifth spot, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, they had 82 points, as you mentioned last year, Drew. I think, you know, they can get a few more points. But when you're talking about the Central Division, you're probably going to have to get between 90 and 95 points to make the playoffs. I would say it's going to be closer to 95 points. Last year, Minnesota got in there with 87 points. I would expect that to be higher this year. So the Avalanche, I think, are going to be better. They're certainly going to be an exciting team to watch. I think they have a coach that's better suited for the players that they have, speedy guys like Nathan MacKinnon and Matt Duchene. And I would expect a guy like Mikko Rantanen to get more ice time this year. So I think they're going to be improved, but I still think that they're at the bottom of the Central Division. And when it comes ultimately down to the end of the season, they're not going to have quite enough to make the playoffs.
The Pacific Division, since the NHL has gone to the, you know, the new playoff format with the crossover potentially, the Pacific Division has never sent more than three teams to the playoffs. Is this the year that changes?
No, I don't think so.
I don't either.
And when you look at the Central, we already talked about it. I mean, would anybody sit here and say that one of St. Louis, Chicago, Dallas, or Nashville is going to miss the playoffs? So that's four teams right there.
Sure.
So, and when you talk about a team like the Los Angeles Kings potentially taking a step back, that leaves the door open for the Calgary Flames, Edmonton Oilers, Vancouver Canucks, or Arizona Coyotes to get in there, because I think we'd all agree Anaheim and San Jose are going to fight it out until the end of the season for that Pacific Division title, right, Drew? So I think that it's going to be Arizona. That's going to be my surprise team. I kind of went back and forth between Arizona and Calgary, so I might be wrong about that, and Calgary might surprise us all and make the playoffs again. But the Los Angeles Kings, I think, are going to miss Milan Lucic more than they think, and I just don't think the acquisitions they made are going to make them that much better. Like, Jonathan Quick had a Vezina-worthy season last year. He had 40 wins last year. The defense is still very top-heavy with Drew Doughty and Jake Muzzin and Alec Martinez. But I look at the other teams in the division, and I don't think that they've done enough to certainly be better than the Sharks or Ducks. And then I look like at a team like the Arizona Coyotes.
Let me stop you right there, and just
better.
Let me just stop you right there and talk about the additions the Coyotes have made. In the offseason, they get Jamie McGinn. He's an unrestricted free agent. Radim Verbata comes back, formerly of the Coyotes, now back with the Coyotes. Alex Goligoski comes over from the Dallas Stars. Luke Shen comes over. He was a free agent. Lawson Crouse comes over from the Florida Panthers in a salary cap move where they take some problem contracts in order to get a young player. They lose Antoine Vermette. They lose Alex Tange. And they lose a bunch of depth players more than anything. You know, the Coyotes, you say, Ezzie, that you see them as being sort of they would be a surprise to make the playoffs. I think that you would agree with that not very many people would have the Coyotes as a playoff team. You don't have concerns about Mike Smith and their goaltending problems?
No, I do.
To me, that would be their biggest.
Yeah, it's their Achilles heel.
That's their biggest problem area is, I don't have them as a playoff team, but to me, Mike Smith has just not proven that he can be a quality NHL goaltender for the last number of years.
And that might be the deciding factor between Calgary and Arizona. Calgary has Brian Elliott, and we talked about this with Eric Duhatchik. They have Chad Johnson, so they're set in goal. They have two bona fide NHL goaltenders. Brian Elliott should play 50 to 60 games for the Calgary Flames. Mike Smith is certainly not the goaltender that he was 3 or 4 years ago, but I look at that defense, and I like the acquisition of Alex Goligoski. I think Michael Stone is an underrated defenseman, and you know, there could be the chance that a guy like Jacob Chychrun makes the opening lineup. They went out and they signed Luke Shen in the offseason as well as Jamie McBain. So they have a lot of options there on defense. Like, these aren't top-pairing guys, Drew, but they're depth guys. So I think the defense is better, and I think they're going to be better offensively. Jamie McGinn had 20 goals last year. Radim Verbata comes back. Didn't have a very good year with Vancouver, but they're obviously familiar with Radim Verbata. He has put up 30-goal seasons before for the Arizona Coyotes. So I think, you know, the division's not the strongest division in the league. I think there is an opportunity, but certainly I do have concerns with Mike Smith, Drew. If Mike Smith is not better this year, then they're not going to make the playoffs.
So Kevin Allen, in his article, in his projections article, had Flames making a huge jump, or as Donald Trump would say, a huge jump. But, you know, and they're a really interesting team. Now, obviously, we wanted to see what happens with Johnny Gaudreau and Johnny Hockey, and if he manages to get that, although I believe Trey Living was in New York with talking to his agent this week. So
yeah, I believe Frank Saravelli, TSN correspondent, tweeted about that they were meeting face-to-face to get a deal done.
So I suspect that they may have something cooking in Calgary. And if they do, especially like Eric Duhatchik said, I'm coming around on the Flames. Like, they really are a nice, young, up-and-coming. They've got solid defense. And so you could see the Flames as a team that makes that jump into a playoff spot and knocks out one of these reigning contenders. I'm of the same opinion that the LA Kings could take a step back this season. And then, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Randy Carlyle in Anaheim and whether he's able to. Oh, is he?
Well, I was just going to say, Dave, you know, just quickly, the thing with LA is, even though that they don't have, and the Marian Gabrick injury hurts them too.
Yeah. I mean, he's not like he's out for 2 weeks. He's out for 2 months.
Yes. And even though Gabrick isn't the same Marian Gabrick that he once was, he's still a guy that can still put the puck in the net.
That's right. The
thing that the LA Kings have going for them is Jonathan Quick is still one of the best goalies in the league. And Drew Doughty, I think, is still the best defenseman in the league. And so you still have a very good defense. So, you know, you're going to depend on guys like Tyler Toffoli and Jeff Carter, and they acquired Teddy Purcell. They're going to expect some goals out of him. But that is what they do have going for them. The Anaheim Ducks, the LA Kings, those are top defensive teams. They're very hard to play against. You know that a Daryl Sutter coach team is going to be hard to play against. But I agree with Dave. Calgary is absolutely going to take a step forward this year. They didn't have a very good year last year, so it's going to be, you know, the Flames, the Coyotes, the Canucks, all those teams are going to be right in it there in the Pacific.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll look a little bit more at the Pacific Division. We'll talk a little bit about some more of our predictions. We'll try and get as much done in the limited 14 minutes we have left on a very busy Saturday edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on TSN 1290.
Illegal Curve Hockey Show returns. Now you're on the curve on TSN 1290. TSN1290.ca.
One final segment this Saturday morning here on TSN 1290. We'll continue our look at the Pacific Division. We'll give our playoff predictions as well. Going to save the Atlantic Division for next Saturday, as the Jets will be in action against the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs next week. So that can lead nicely into talking about the Atlantic Division with those two teams on the docket.
Yeah, Drew, we don't want to talk about the Leafs anyways.
Well, there'd be enough people talking about the Leafs that I don't think they need us to fill any Toronto-related airtime, certainly. Let's continue looking at the Pacific Division. We sort of haven't touched on both the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers. Let's start with the Oilers. They were certainly active this offseason. Milan Lucic gets the big 7-year deal. Jesse Puljujarvi gets drafted by the Oilers. Adam Larson is acquired in exchange for Taylor Hall. Drake Kajula comes over from the University of North Dakota as a college free agent. Niall Yakupov leaves yesterday. Other than that, they lost mainly depth guys when their depth wasn't that good to begin with. Is this the year? I mean, the Oilers, they can't be any worse than they've been the last decade this coming year. but can you see them making a real big step forward? Can you see them envisioning them in any way possible as a playoff team?
I don't know, Drew. That Nolan Patrick looks pretty good as the number one next season, so you never know what the Oilers could do.
Yeah, it's funny, Dave. You know, when you look at the Edmonton Oilers, they've certainly made some key additions. Milan Lucic.
Chris Russell, I should mention, signs with the Oilers overnight.
Yes.
It's a $3.1 million one-year contract with the Oilers. So finally, we can stop talking about Chris Russell.
Well, right, and it's addition by subtraction with Neil Yakupov. It's amazing that they got a middling prospect and a conditional draft pick for Neil Yakupov, a former first overall pick. I wasn't a big fan of Neil Yakupov. So I think the Edmonton Oilers, for me, they aren't a playoff team this year. But I'll say this much. If Connor McDavid is healthy all year and Cam Talbot plays like the Cam Talbot in the second half of the season, because Cam Talbot was certainly better in the second half of the season as opposed to the first half of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if they're pushing a team like the Calgary Flames or the Arizona Coyotes or the LA Kings for a playoff spot. The Edmonton Oilers had 70 points last year. They were the second worst team in the NHL. They're going to have more points. Like, I think just a Connor McDavid, a healthy Connor McDavid, Drew, gets you 10 points right there.
So it's up to 80 points.
So I think there's, I mean, the Oilers can be an 85, 90 point team, but the goaltending's got to be better. A lot is going to fall on the shoulders of Oscar Klefbom and Adam Larson. That's their top pairing.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect Chris Russell to be a second pairing left side defenseman for them. But Klefbom and Larson, I'll say this much. In the preseason, we watched them a couple times here. They weren't very impressive.
No.
So I don't know if that defense is good enough, but they're going to be better than they were last year for sure.
The Vancouver Canucks. They're a team that nobody's really talking about at all. Their big offseason. I mean, Louis Eriksson was their big signing coming over from the Boston Bruins. He's going to play on that all-Swedish line with the Sedin twins. Erik Gudbranson is acquired from the Florida Panthers in a trade that for Jared McCann, a trade that most people did not like, thinking McCann is better than Gudbranson. He's not the analytics world does not like Erik Gudbranson. Is there any reason to have any sort of confidence that the Canucks are anything but a non-playoff team for the fans of in Vancouver this season?
You know, we'll get Dave in here. I don't think the Vancouver Canucks are going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to be better. Again, I think there's going to be a lot of point improvements for teams in the Pacific Division. The Oilers, the Flames, the Canucks, I think they're all going to be better than they were last year. But after Louis Eriksson, after the Sedins, who's getting all the goals? This team only scored 191 goals last year, which was the worst in the Pacific Division. And, you know, they're a pretty good team on defense. Ryan Miller's still a very good goaltender, even though, you know, he might not be as good as he once was. But I don't know where the secondary offense is coming from. They're going to expect a lot of goals from some of their young players like Bo Horvat and Jake Virtanen. But I just don't see it, Drew. I see San Jose, Anaheim, Calgary, Arizona, LA. I see at least five teams better than them in the Pacific, and there are only seven teams in the division. So,
okay, let's talk about playoff predictions. You gave your Metropolitan Division predictions earlier. Ezzy, you had Washington, Pittsburgh, the Devils, and the Rangers out of the Metropolitan Division. Dave, you had Pittsburgh, Washington, the Islanders, and the Flyers out of the Metropolitan Division. Start with the Central Division, Ezzy.
Sure. I have five teams making the playoffs out of the Central Division. It's not going to be any surprise that I have Dallas, Chicago, St. Louis, Nashville, and I think Winnipeg's going to make the playoffs. I think Winnipeg is going to surprise a lot of people. I think Laine and Connor aren't going to have as many growing pains as people think. I think the goaltending situation is going to get resolved. So I have the Jets making the playoffs in the Central, and in the Pacific, I have three teams.
Hang on, don't go to the Pacific yet. I want Dave first, and then we'll go to the... So let me just recap, Ezzy, your Central Division playoff teams. The Dallas Stars, the Chicago Blackhawks, the St. Louis Blues, the Nashville Predators, and the Winnipeg Jets coming in, replacing the Minnesota Wild.
That's right.
As that fifth Central Division playoff team.
Yep.
In no particular order, I should mention. Dave, your teams.
That sounds like it was in a particular order, but I have the exact same five, actually, just in a different order than Ez. But I don't know if yours were yours in order, Ez?
No, they weren't ordered.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I don't really care about the order. It's not that.
Then it doesn't matter. Then
you guys both have the same five
Dallas,
teams.
Dallas, Nashville, Chicago, St. Louis, Winnipeg.
Okay. I'm going to save my predictions until next Saturday show just to make a little fun in games, just like we did last year. You get a little bit of intrigue, if you will. So that means you each have three teams out of the Pacific Division for this coming season as the representatives.
Yes,
as
for me, please. It's San Jose, Anaheim, and Arizona. And I mentioned this last segment. I went back and forth between Arizona and Calgary, and I think Calgary might be the safer pick, but I think the Arizona Coyotes with all of their young forwards there and the acquisitions they made on the back end, I think, are going to surprise a lot of people.
So that's your bold prediction, because your bold prediction is one, Arizona in, and two, Los Angeles out.
Right, and I would say, I guess, New Jersey would be a bit of a surprise pick.
New Jersey would be a surprise pick out of the East. Dave?
I'm going Anaheim, San Jose, and Calgary.
And Calgary. So you both have the Los Angeles Kings dropping out of the playoffs for this coming year. So that's sort of a that'll be an interesting storyline to follow over the course of the 8-month NHL season, looking to see how accurate you two gentlemen were regarding the Los Angeles Kings.
All right, let's get to the big ones here.
Quickly, give me your conference champions and your cup winner.
Dallas beats Florida in the Stanley Cup final.
And you have Dallas as your cup team. Dave?
Nashville beats Washington in the Stanley Cup final.
Nashville beats Washington. Wow, two bold predictions. I'll come back with my predictions next Saturday. But that's it for this Saturday and the NHL season preview show here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. A big thank you to our guests, Jeff Hamilton, Kevin Allen, and Eric DeHatchick. The show's available for download on iTunes, on TSN1290.ca, and on our website, IllegalCurve.com, if you missed any of it. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Keener Jerseys. Big props to producer Rory, doing a great job behind the glass.
Attaboy, Rory!
For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay tuned for Minuk Dencher Blue Bomber Game Day coming up in 60 minutes' time here on your home for sports in Winnipeg, TSN 1290.